Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Judge Weiner had to join us. We have talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can join us on Twitch TV. Just go to twitch.tv and search for SFU On Call, and you will find the live feed. We do start around 9:30. It might start a little bit later at 9:30, so please be patient. Also, when it comes to going to the TalkShoe website, remember to use a Chrome browser or something derived from Chromium. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, my Twitter account is sfuoncall. And, of course, my personal account is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And, of course, I have my business account at Franz Games, FranzGames. Of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on various feeds around the net. And, of course, we have our YouTube channel. Please feel free to look for it. You can find the link to it right on the sfuoncall.com website. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole was discussing with his clan, the business partners, with two new modules that they're considering, which is Module J3, Shadow of the Eagle, and Module also R13. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates, also working on the Tholian Master Starship book. Gene was busy looking for houses, but also things he was also doing was working on the GURPS Klingon book and also ACTA SF 2.0, and of course, dealing with Shapeways. I think he's constantly dealing and fighting and various things about that. When it comes to the Sapphire Star Tournament 2, we have 13 signups. So far, we're waiting for just three more. If you come on, it'd be perfect. You know, you can have it so that you can kind of go over the holiday, you know, have some fun. And moving on to the SFB Online Library Progress Report. Sorry, no conversions have been done this week, so it still stays at 2,519. Yet to be converted is 811, leaving it at a percentage complete of 75.65%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Dave, you got Barry. We're going to be talking about Omega. Yes. Children, countrymen, lend me your ears. We're talking about the chloroform. Chloroform is not. That's just put you to sleep. So, we're going to be talking about the chloroform. So, how you doing, Barry?
Oh, you almost put me to sleep there.
Oh, that was bad. I thought when I said it was bad enough, I just stood.
So, the chloroform. Can you boot up the client and see what version of the chloroform I last put in the client?
Yeah, actually, I don't even need to bring up the client. I already snipped it out.
Okay.
Chlorophon is there. Okay, I got the original Heavy Cruiser from the SSDs, and I have yours, which has, let me look at this.
Is it a half cost movement cost or two-thirds movement cost?
It's half movement cost.
With two PQ2s?
Yeah. Two PQ2s.
Okay.
Eight PQ1s.
And eight PQ1s.
Yeah. And you got
three energy howitzers and three subspace coagulators.
Yep.
Only 34 power, which is not much, but it's a half-cost mover.
Right.
Got a lot of impulse. And some APRs, too. But it's got a lot of frickin' impulse.
Yes, it does. Dang, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that ship will run out of warp before it runs out of impulse. And it's only got center warp.
Yeah, which makes it quite interesting when it comes to damage. Yeah, because you're not going to hit it right. You're not going to hit it left. Correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But look at the turn mode. E.
Yeek.
Yeah. Pick a direction. Geez. Don't change.
That's a tug.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Dang gun. The subspace coagulator, quite an interesting weapon. System.
It has some similarities to a webcaster.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The way it kind of goes out is quite a bit different than the webcaster.
Right, right. But
linear pattern cannot, if it's going for a linear approach, you cannot have turns or side slips.
Right.
So you can't do the ever so famous W. Like you can with Tholian.
Right. On the other hand, it just generates asteroids, which means that anybody can shoot through it.
Right. That's true.
And anybody can move through it. Although, if you're moving through it at high speed, it can cause problems.
Right.
And what it's really effect of that is you shoot ahead of you, run through it before it forms,
mm-hmm.
and seeking weapons following you.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be going pretty fast, and they're gone.
Plasma torpedoes take damage, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Boy.
Yeah. Right.
I forgot, that's one thing I forgot to look up. I forgot to look up asteroid damage.
It's basically whatever it rolls, that's the amount of phaser points it does.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that plasmas are moving speed 32, so they are going to hit that high column. And if you set it up as, a globe, it's possible that a plasma torpedo could go three or four hexes of that stuff.
Right, right. Jeez.
That could be enough to take out an S or.
Wow. I was thinking about. I don't know. I should have looked up the asteroid damage because of.
It's in the Omega. A rule book under the subspace coagulator. They have that, the asteroid damage chart.
Oh, okay.
What they don't have is how much electronic the EW.
Hmm?
How much it does for direct fire weapons.
It says the collision table.
Yeah, there's the collision table, but what it doesn't have is how much electronic warfare degradation it does.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the Angie Howitzer. Okay, let me look that up. Here are my bookmarks and go to. Just doing a quick review because I read up this one for a few weeks ago, and so it's a reminder. Okay, it can require one of the 6 points of energy to arm. If the weapon is armed with three, one to
No,
three. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the
Oh, this
howitzer.
one. Okay. Yeah, one to
Yeah, we're
three.
still on the subspace gradually.
Okay, I'll switch back. Sorry. Yeah, the of course they don't.
The coagulator takes 2 points of power over 2 turns, and then it uses rolling delay after that.
And the duration of subspace coagulation is 32 impulses for the moment of initial
Which
form.
is double the length,
Right.
double the length of a web.
Well, yep. Which can be quite useful because
Yeah.
you can. I'm just imagining having seeking weapons chase you from one side of the coagulator to another side.
Oh, yeah.
If
If you
assuming
can
that,
arrange that.
yeah. Well, yeah, if you arrange that and it obviously has to be linear for that.
Yeah, if you can set that situation up, there isn't even a plasma R enveloper is going to be toast.
Dang. You cannot be going too fast through that thing. Because you're going
No.
greater than speed
No.
26. Oh.
Oh, it'll rip you apart.
Yep. Though still, even with 15 to 25, which is a reasonable speed for a ship, you can have up to
Yeah.
15 points of damage for a single
Per
hit.
hex.
Yep.
Yeah. Now the Chlorophon does get a -1 to the die roll. So does the Orion.
The Orion and what?
Your any nimble ships.
Oh, okay, a nimble ship. Okay.
Yeah.
Are the L'Oreal, their ships nimble?
I don't know. I don't think so. Know they got a very good turn mode, but I don't know that they're nimble.
Right. I'd have to go back and check. Ba-ba-ba.
Yeah, there was one other Omega race that was nimble. Oh, probably the Hivers. It may be the Hivers, or I don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to take a look-see.
Yeah.
This must be at least 4 and no more than 20 hexes away from the firing ship at the moment of the coagulator act. At the moment the coagulator is activated? Okay. Right. Must be within firing arc of the caster at the moment of activation, but thereafter the coagulation pattern forms independently, which is nice.
Yeah. What you could do is you could fire it in front of you and then get past the point of the coagulation before it solidifies.
Right. And definitely the difference between coagulation and forming of a web. A web, it, the whole thing is at one time, boom, it's all there.
Yeah.
While a
Right.
coagulation grows.
Yes.
There's two.
Now, what it doesn't say is when it forms it forms the first hex two impulses after fired.
Right.
And then it forms two more hexes two impulses later.
Right.
And then two impulses later it forms the last four hexes. But right. I don't know if your opponent knows before the hexes form where they're going to form.
That is okay. When activated, the first hex it's noted with a temporary counter. Whether the cloud will expand in linear or bubble is announced at this time, as is the axis of the first expansion.
Oh, it is. Okay. Oh, okay. So you have to announce that at the moment of firing.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, the weird part... Oh. Bah, 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 bah. So I'm looking for, okay, you have two hexes for the initial one, and then you get two more I'm thinking in the case of the globular, you know, the bubble mode.
Yes. Right. If it's globular, then the last four hexes fill out the globe. If it's linear, then the last four hexes just continue a line.
Right, right. But I'm thinking about the main is four impulses after activation, the two more. Okay, these can be placed adjacent to the initial or on the, well, they must be on opposite sides, okay?
And then two impulses later, you get the final four.
Right. But I'm thinking about it because you got initial two on two impulses, and then you get two more. And when it comes to the globe, they could either.
So you get one, I think. You get one on the first.
Right.
And with two impulses later, you get one hex. And then two impulses later, you get two more hexes.
Oh, okay.
And then two impulses later, you get four more hexes.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that then doesn't. Yeah,
so I think it's seven hexes long for a globe. Which is actually a lot more hexes than you get out of a web.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. Agreed.
Seven.
A web, you only get around five, right?
Five. Right. And this one's a little cheaper to operate than a web.
Mm-hmm. Heck of a lot cheaper.
Although, yeah.
Though of course,
and you have three of them.
But of course, with a webcaster, there's one thing you can do that you cannot do with Coagulator, and that is use it
as fire it as a weapon.
Direct fire weapon, yep.
That's correct.
So, but of course, it's not like there's an enemy race of the Chlorophon, like the Tholians have the Sartorians. Well, the Sartorians have the Webbreaker.
Shieldcracker. Webbreaker, yeah.
Yeah, Webbreaker / with a Shieldcracker mode. Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've yet to fly, really. I have flown a Sartorian many times. I've yet to actually fly it against a Tholian. It's like, please come on!
Yeah.
I fly this ship.
Nobody takes Tholians.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Some people take Tholians. Some people take Orca. But overall, is it popular? No. Is it less popular than? The Romulan King Eagle? No. It's more popular than that.
Yeah. Did you ever find out what the asteroids do to direct fire weapons?
No. No. Actually, I can check that up. Let me bring up my master rulebook and look up asteroids. I can do that relatively quickly. And it'll be the P section.
P3.
There it is. Okay. Effect on combat. Lock-on does not affect lock-on. Seeking weapons pass-through may have damage. Electronic warfare. Each asteroid hex between the firing unit or guided and the target provides the target with a benefit of 1 point of ECM.
Okay.
Interesting. That is interesting. Because of... You can actually... That means you if you put it down in globular form... You know, the bubble, sorry. I'm used to thinking about it in the terms of a webcaster, which is it's globe or, you know, in a line, you know. In the bubble form, the bubble mode, you can actually have it go through three hexes. So that could be a...
which?
That provides... Think about that.
That only gives you a minus one shift.
Yeah, because even a single ECM, one point of ECM gives you a minus one shift. Because one to three
is plus one.
Is a plus one shift. I think four to six is a plus two, if I recall correctly.
Four to eight. You need nine to get a plus three.
But you can do with a chlorophon. This with a subspace collector and a wild weasel together.
Yeah,
it is possible. Would you ever do it? No.
It's a theoretical possibility.
It's a theoretical possibility. It's one of those ones that you have to be in perfect. You know, most probably the person firing at you is going to go around your bubble, at the very least. We'll go around the bubble or go further, up or down from the line. Because in theory, you can, I think, get three hexes in a row.
Even getting the plus two shift is almost impossible.
Yeah. No one would fire you a plus three shift, but they would most probably get to the plus two shift at the very least.
The plus one is easy. The plus two is almost impossible. Plus three is
As I said, plus three is a theoretical possibility, but it's. In real action, it's a rare bird. It can happen for like one impulse, and then it changes back to plus two, which is just what the wild weasel provides it from the get go.
Or even plus one,
right?
Because if you don't have it just lined up perfectly,
right,
you're not even going to get the plus two.
Well, with a wild weasel, you can get a plus two. You automatically get a plus two.
Yeah. Now, moving on. The chlorophon needs its subspace coagulators because it likes to draw battles out. It plays the long game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on the fact that its weapons, its energy howitzers do us. Heck of a lot of damage, but only to shields and power.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to fight them in it.
Right. I forgot you. I read that, which was mixing's interesting, which means to get internals, first fire your energy howitzers to take down the shield. And after that, then you have to use your phasers to actually do damage to the other player's ship.
Right. Yeah, the energy howitzers are really good at ripping out other people's shields.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it fires if you put 1 to 3 points of power in,
right,
you can fire it every turn. You have three of them.
Right.
And really, one point of power is probably all you really want to put into it. You don't get very much benefit from putting two or three points of power in.
Agreed. For 2 points of power, closer in, you might, depending upon the range, you might get one more point of damage.
Right. But you,
and it doesn't change your thing hit.
That it's,
you know.
Right. But did you see the part about it does that damage to three shields?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember reading about this. And also, it's very interesting how that affect when it comes to the Andromedans and their PA panels.
Yeah.
That in the case of an Andromedan, it does not hit. It won't splash to another PA panel.
But it does double damage to that one panel. It does hit.
Right.
It does two elements of damage, which is, yeah, 3 or 4 points. It's doubled. So,
right.
Six to 8 points of damage, which is, yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Minor correction. Enemy damage element that strikes entirely through a down shield after reinforcement or a PA panel or damages the target without shielding does 1 point of internal damage. With the power 1 to 3. And
yeah.
3 points of internal damage from 4 to 6.
Right. Yeah, now if you go to 4 points of power, then the damage doubles.
Yeah. Then, which is good because.
But you can only fire it every other turn.
That's the good part.
Is that, well, you don't have the power to fire it that many times.
Oh, agreed. It's not, the ship does not have that much power.
No. It's like one, two. But at 1 point of power for those regular shots, and you fire it every turn, and you have three of them, you can fire all three of them every turn for 3 points of power. That's not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get them in arc, which is kind of hard to do because you're turn mode E.
Agreed. Though that's also why you have howitzers that are right side and left side.
Yeah.
So even if they are, you know, the rear shields are facing them, you can still hit them at least with one. Now, obviously, you have to hit them with three. But three is not exactly easy just because of the arcs involved. You have to have them centerlined,
yeah.
Front centerlined to get all three. It's more likely you'll get two.
But, so you might be shooting the four energy mode quite a bit and then turning to try to get another of the energy howitzers in arc for the next turn.
Yep.
And then use your subspace coagulators is to kind of encourage your opponent to go to where your other energy houses can get them. Now, there is a part in the rules that I just couldn't figure out. I think the rule is poorly written because it says it does, you know, they describe what it does if you have shields. And it describes what happens if you're firing against completely down shields. But what if I had 2 points of shield left and I hit that shield with 4 points of energy howitzer? Does it do two on the shield and two in? Or does it just do the two on the shield? Or does it do... It doesn't say. If the shield's completely down, 1 point of power.
Right.
It does one internal. If the shield's completely up, it does 4 damage to the shield. But if the shield goes down partway through, it doesn't stay.
Okay. Yeah, let me look at the example here. It says of the howitzers basically strikes a number one shield facing ship and with a down number one and down and number two, and it was armed. Okay, it would do two internals. Okay, that's just the okay. Right. Okay. I just want to make sure that I understood when you said 2 points. You know, basically double damage. You know, for painting a panel, I mean two elements. That was just it was.
Yeah.
It's because of when it comes to PA panels.
Yeah.
Actually, the thing is, I got. Read this again when it comes to PA panels because of okay ships when it comes to PA panels they are usually front front half rear half but
right
when you're talking about bases that's a different bird because of
but they didn't write the rules for PA panels versus shields they wrote the rule for number of shield facings.
Right.
So an Andromedan base
right.
Six
that's true.
Panel facing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, in the case of a base, it could have like six panel facings.
Yeah. But it doesn't. I can't find the section in the rule where if the shield is weak and howitzer breaks through,
right.
What does it do?
It probably does nothing.
Doesn't say one way or the other.
Procedure. Okay, determines the amount of damage. Die, roll the die. And you fire either. Okay. Find either either point of fire when it comes to when they do internal damage with other direct fire weapons. They do shield damage before other direct fire weapons and after the transport collector beams. They do not have a separate volley of their own.
And armor is a little ambiguous too.
Armor is an internal. I assume that it would treat. Okay, if it's just armor without a shield, then I would think that it would treat this. Something that doesn't have a shield.
It kind of does something different, but okay.
What? Right. If target units. E.g. shuttles. Okay, if a target only has one shield facing, e.g. shuttles, you apply one damage element to that unit.
Yeah.
So basically, if it doesn't have shields at all, you only apply one damage element.
Yeah.
This one is always interesting to me. General reinforcement is taken off of each damage element at the discretion of the defending player.
Yeah. So basically it says, okay, I'm going to hit three shield facings and you have general reinforcement up. You can say, I'm going to use that general reinforcement to stop damage from that shield facing.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting. A volley composed entirely of energy of howitzer damage will never generate a leak point. although the points generated by EH would contribute to the leak threshold.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got your PQs, which are about as anemic as phasers get.
Yeah, the PQs?
Yeah.
Oops. Let me look at this, because... Again, I looked at PQs a few weeks back, and I've not updated... Not re-looked at them.
Oh, but the PQs have an interesting feature. Okay, they have built-in ECCM.
Ah,
that kind of that works well with the subspace coagulator. It can shoot through its own asteroids without degradation.
Yeah.
At least the phasers can. Of course, PQs, as I said, do squat.
Don't look. Depends on which ones you're looking at.
Well, the PQ1s are better than the PQ2s at closer ranges.
Yeah. Yeah, PQ1s. Yeah, they're not as good as regular like phaser ones, but to me, what's the interesting part is PQ3s. Yeah, they're not as good close range as a regular phaser three, but the 4-7 range is interesting to me.
Yes, it is,
because it's 2-2-1-1. Unlike a regular phaser three, where 4-8 is 1-1.
Right. Oh, yeah. And you can fire the PQ1s or the PQ2s as PQ3s.
Yep. Okay. That's one thing that's I keep forgetting, which is the Omega Empires, their phasers and their weapons, they're slightly skewed. They're not based off of the power range for the alpha, where, you know, at range 8, that's where the cutoff is for all weapons. You know, the difference between 8 and 9, everything from phasers to photons to disruptors. All of them are the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, for Omegas, the cutoff is 7.
Fusions, Hellbores, same thing. Photons, disruptors, same thing. Particle cannons from Saltorians are a little bit different, aren't they?
No. They're like...
No?
All the alpha.
One breakers certainly are.
When it comes to, when shield comes crackers to that breakage, yeah. No, obviously, I'm partial to the particle cannons in that the one thing that I really like about them is the ability... Mm-hmm. When they're capacitor based, have to put half the energy back into the capacitor to quote unquote hold it. very leaky weapon.
Yeah.
But more to the point, at the point of firing, you get to decide on whether it's overloaded or standard. It's not like a disruptor where have to decide at the point of arming.
That's true.
Which actually, this is, if you think about it, it's kind of interesting in that I'm just thinking about the comparison of SFB to FedCom, in that with FedCom, except for the multi-turn army weapons, i.e. Hellbores, plasma torpedoes, photons, that ability to select what, whether you're going to fire standard or overloaded, changes from energy allocation to firing. Because of, in FedCom, that's the energy is not removed from the system until you fire. At least when it comes to single turn arming weapons.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it changes the dynamic when it comes to disruptors versus like particle cannons.
Right. Yeah, I hate to say this, but I'm starting to fall asleep here.
No problem. I'll let you go.
Yeah. So next week is, I'm on a startup, and that startup, I don't know, schedule's going to be kind of nuts for that startup.
Then why don't we just plan for you not to be here?
It is in central time zone.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be down in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
what's the next empire we want to hit?
I'm on that startup. Yeah. But that startup is, it continues to the end of January for me.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
So, yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, then, you have a good night.
So, I will.
Okay.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. He's gone. Yeah. But, you know, which is, I'd have to check, but about the FedCom when it comes to the Omegas, because we do have the playtest rules for the Omegas, and Lord knows I know that they're hoping for people to play them and playtest them. Actually, that might be a really excellent idea, which is see if I can get some of the Omega ship cards. I have to check to see. I think they might be only available online. See if I can get it from Steve Cole. In the effort and the hope, maybe, just maybe, having it available online might help people to volunteer to playtest. You know, not have a lot of, but at least, you know, have a few of the ships. You know, if Steve Cole is concerned about the whole piracy thing, you know, just give me a few, just a few. I'm not asking for a lot, just something that so people can play them and play test the rules, because that's one thing that is always weird, which is the conversion of SFB rules to FedCom. And as I pointed out with the disruptor thing, which is it actually changes the dynamic of the firing of that weapon. So, you know, and the weird, to me, the weird part about FedCom was the whole idea was to make it simpler. In most part, it did do that. But the one thing that still you could not get away with, you could not remove yourself from, which is multi-turn arming weapons. As soon as you add multi-turn arming weapons into the mix, at that point, you have completely and utterly brought it back to SFB. Yes, you've simplified the EA, but you still have an EA procedure. Versus, I think that the original, in my mind, the original concept, the original idea was to simplify it greatly. To the point where it's not quite level of beer and pretzels, but it could, one thing it could do is make it so introduction is a lot easier. And in my mind, if they could have removed all multi-turn army weapons. Because what's one thing I appreciate with Ken Burnside, which was for his the vector, attack vector, which got changed names into something else. I forget what it's called off the top of my head, and I apologize. Sorry, Ken. But one of the original ones I saw him do, which was actually quite interesting, which was instead of having energy allocation, what he used was action points. And you had the kind of action points that you saved up and used during the turn. And that's how you fire weapons, is these action points. And then that could do the damage and all that kind of thing. Which I think it's a fantastic idea. But in my mind, as I said, if you could take it from, get rid of all those multi-turn army weapons, in my mind, in theory, you could still have the multi-turn army weapons. This is a tough point. I'm sure Steve Cole has looked over the whole idea to have it so it's even simplified more. So all you have to do is all you need to do at the beginning of turn is you do one thing. You take the energy and you select how fast you're going, and that's all you do. Everything else is dynamic. It's on an as-needed basis. But, of course, that changes the dynamic of the photons greatly because of let's say we allow people to fire their photons. They're still multi-turn, quote-unquote multi-turn army weapons. Meaning the way to make them still multi-turn without having to manage the multi-turn energy allocation portion is to completely and say, okay, it's a cooldown is what it is. Photons now, instead of having multi-turn arming weapons, they have cooldown periods. So if you fire them, they're still kind of multi-turn. That means you only can use them once every other turn. But you have every other turn you have a cooldown. So all you do is tracking cooldowns. It's how many times you can fire each. Can you fire this turn or not? Now the tough part about that, obviously, is that the amount of energy. If you're going to try to keep it balanced with disruptors, firing a photon will cost you, a standard photon would cost you 4 points of energy. And an overload would cost you 8. But it's not like you have that much additional energy. You don't. But, it changes the energy dynamic, and I can understand why Steve Cole never decided to go that way. But, I think if that would have been possible, to change it so it was completely remove the energy allocation whatsoever, so that it was completely dynamic. I think that would be that'd be great. How if there was a ability to take FedCom and modify it. So, the problem is, I don't think you can do FedCom as FedCom stands. You would have to change it. You could create a game that is FedCom. To a certain degree, all the rest of the rules apply. You can do energy. You can do transporter. You use energy at that point. Tracking use energy at that point. All this stuff that's dynamic, and you have no energy allocation. If you change it, what that requires? It requires a change in weaponry, and that is where it no longer becomes FedCom, i.e. all the weapons, all of the systems that you know and love in SFB are now available in a simplified form and it's called Federation Commander, or FedCom. I like calling it FedCom because I'm sorry, calling it FC. It's like, still don't quite like it. I like FedCom. To me, it sounds a lot better. But anyhow, that'd be the only way to do it, is actually change all the multi-turn army weapons to be single-turn army weapons, and possibly make them require, a cooldown between turns. The tough part about that, obviously, is it changes the energy dynamic of the ships. That means you're going to have these curves that are like this, up and down, up and down, up and down. Because I'll have more energy when you have to kind of pause your weapon firing, your cooldowns, and then you have less energy when you're firing. And then you go back up, and you go back down, and you go up, and you go down. It depends upon whether you fire your weapons or not. Now, obviously, the same thing occurs with single-turn arm weapons, i.e. like disruptors. But, as you fire, you have less energy. If you don't fire, you have more energy. But that's the dynamic. If you want to, you can go poop and just have you're down here, so it's very low. And you never have more energy available to you because of, to do speed, to run around, for speed and things like that. I'll see energy allocation, but that's one thing. I agreed with what Steve Cole did when it comes to FedCom, and that is going from, you can take all this energy that if you're not using, you can put that to defense. You can put that so that you are reinforcing your shield and saying, nope, there's a limitation of how much energy you can put towards reinforcing that shield. And to limit that, base it on the number of non-disabled, quote unquote, batteries. As to be honest, I'm gonna be honest here. As if I wouldn't be otherwise. And that is that I'm still not sure to this day why Steve Cole changed the wording from destroyed to disabled when it comes to weapons. When it comes to systems. You can never destroy a system. It's like you disable it. It's like, what? In the case of so you never can blow up a ship. Oh yeah, you can blow up a ship, but you've disabled all the weapons, and you can blow up the ship. It's like, okay, then you didn't. In my mind, you didn't disable the weapons; you destroyed them. So you actually can destroy something. You can blow up a ship. Maybe a kinder, gentler SFB. I don't know. It's just one of those things. That's, to me, it was always kind of goofy. To me, why would you do that? But anyway, if you get an opportunity to go and purchase the FedCom Omega rules, please do, especially if you already know and love the Omega rules. Are the Omega rules perfect? If you've been listening to me and Barry talk about it, yeah, there are issues. Heck, there are issues with the Alpha Octant stuff. If I recall correctly, there was an issue with the PF rules for Zintis, I think it was. There was when it comes to the MRNs, the multi-role needles. I think there was an issue with that Aaron Staley pointed out. And I don't think it ever got resolved. It's one of those things that he wanted to know, okay, in this scenario, but I think it was, I'm pretty sure it had to do with the damage allocation when you do substitutions for the multi-role needles. Because multi-role needles are kind of weird. In, you know, because the thing is, when you can replace, you know, it's like an Orion in that you can replace the weapon systems. And multi-role needles, basically you swap things out. They have these modules just like the Romulans where you actually can switch out the modules. And so that those systems kind of that are put in those are kind of replace systems that are part of the original needle. And I don't think that was ever resolved. Or at least I don't think there was any addendum or otherwise fixes, errata, on that. Or correction, it's a clarification is all it'd be needed. We're not changing rules here. We're just kind of getting a clarification. Now, it's possible that happened and I totally missed it. And if anybody knows of the clarification was given either in a captain's log or online, please tell me and I will definitely look it up and shut up. And I'm sure there's also other issues with the rules, but here's the thing. The reason why some of those are probably, I'm going to bet have not been pointed out, is because of not everyone gets into that situation that where they have to know what the resolution of that rule is. And most of the time when they do need to have that resolution, they will post it on the discussion board so that can be done. So I think with that, I will wrap this up for this evening. It was a lovely time with Barry. We got to talk about the chloroform. Sorry we did not talk about tactics as much about the chloroform. Sorry, chloroform, not chloroform. because of it's some of the tactics are kind of obvious for some people. For us, obviously, the chloroforms are going to be going mostly slower because of their turn mode issue, though, and because you want to be able to get the weapons into arc, but the problem is they don't have much power, but from the looks of it, when it comes to warp, the warp will survive forever, so you don't have problems with that. The only problem you're going to have problems, and they have plenty of forward hull, plenty of aft hull. Impulse, I have to look this the damage allocation chart of impulse, because impulse, you have, if I recall correctly, you have to go through all of the forward hull to hit the impulse. So it takes quite a bit of beating. You'll probably, it might have the problem of the hell of the hydrant, where you basically knocked off the weapons off the ship. But that, I think, is less of a problem with weapons as much as it is how those weapons are to hit. And I don't think this suffers from the same thing. And even if it did, you know, let's say the self-squeeze coagulators, which I think, let me just see if I have them. Let me just do a quick. Boom and boom. Okay, thank you. They're repaired on. I don't see. They say repair for 6 points of repair, but I don't see if. Actually, no. I'm looking the wrong. Destruction are destroyed on torpedo hits, and the self-space coagulators are on drone. Big surprise. And I don't think that, you know, so you can, so, okay, so you knock off, you know, the subsqueeze coagulators. The biggest issue, excuse me. I should have. Excuse me. Sorry. Getting all these notifications drive me nuts. But yeah, so even if that was the case, obviously the biggest issue it's going to have, it's a long, long run, as Barry pointed out, but the biggest issue is going to be that if you get past the shields, it's got problems because it only has three of each. The cell space coagulators, you know, if you lose them, it makes things more difficult when it comes to defending yourself because you can't slow people down as easily. And of course, the great thing about those are is the arcs are quite good so that you don't have to be facing them to fire them off. But for the howitzers, you know, you're gonna probably get two if you get them in a forward arc. And because you're not gonna get them center line forward, you might get them center line rear, which is a possibility. So if they chase you, you can actually hit them. You know, not a bad ship. Interesting, but I don't, you know, it's one of those ships that I would really like to play just to see how those systems really work together. Because my biggest concern would be the energy howitzers. There are only three of them, and they get knocked off the ship relatively quickly. And the coagulators, you know, you can, as I said, because heavy weapons-wise, you're very limited the number of heavy weapons you are, and they might have run into the same issue that the hydrants run into, which is small number of heavy weapons, and those are easily hit. So they can probably be running around the board and just don't have any weapons. So I think we'll wrap it up with that. This is Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.